Comment about what I heard earlier about the NPR program, which I also listened to.
Uh-huh.
The commenter actually was praising the Pope effusively. He said this is the first Pope who's advancing the Christian message. So I don't know why the previous caller was saying that he was really trying to rip apart the Pope, but that's not the way it came across to me.
Okay, well, I'll have to take your word for it and his, because I didn't actually hear that program.
Anyway, also, I'm thinking about the Pope as I regard Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, I'm an atheist myself, but I'll take what they stand for, you know? I mean, if we can have a leader with that kind of influence and that kind of personal charisma come on the scene now, it's all for the good.
It does have a powerful effect, I think, because when a leader like that actually questions the whole concept, it really, I mean, you're not even supposed to say capitalism. I remember, let's see, which presidential debate was it that Ross Perot was in? That shows how old I am, I guess.
92.
Was it 92? Thank you very much. He mentioned capitalism and then just kind of caught himself up short. Like, whoops, said the C word.
Yeah, well,
not supposed to see.
Regulated capitalism, of course, which is better than what we have now.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking, boy, I'm excited about this Pope's message. I'm a person with that stature saying these kind of things. It's, you know, I'm thinking back to Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah, hey, ho, let's go. I'm with you on that.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Admit I'm having a good time because truth telling is joyous. And even though the truth I've been telling is pretty grim, talking about Zinn's People's History of the United States, which is a wonderful investment. You can get it in various forms. There is a teaching edition, which is split up into two parts. It is also on the web at historyisaweapon.com. And quoting that, for a while, the English tried softer tactics, but ultimately it was back to annihilation. The Indian population of 10 million, this is a little out of date, as I was saying, there were even more. But the Indian population of 10 million that lived north of Mexico when Columbus came would ultimately be reduced to less than a million. Huge numbers of Indians would die from diseases introduced by the whites. A Dutch traveler in New Netherland wrote in 1656 that, quote, the Indians affirmed that before the arrival of the Christians and before the smallpox broke out amongst them, they were 10 times as numerous as they now are, and 9/10 of them have died, end quote. And that's by 1656. When the English first settled Martha's Vineyard in 1642. The Wampanoags there numbered perhaps 3,000. There were no wars on that island, but by 1764, only 313 Indians were left there. Similarly, Block Island Indians numbered perhaps 1,200 to 1,500 in 1662, and by 1774 were reduced to 51. Number call 503-231-8187. Franny's on the air. Hi, Franny.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Yourself?
Good morning. I'm doing very well, thanks. Happy Thanksgiving. It's a great topic, and I wanted to talk about reparations for women. I don't hear that talked about, and I missed part of your show, so you may have already covered that. Can you talk about that?
No, I haven't. Yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, did you have something specific to say about it? But why should women be left out?
Just because women have been oppressed for years and years, and we still earn lower wages.
75%, or is it up to 76 now? By golly.
I don't know.
Well, that's a good point. And that's, you know, and actually, if you follow me on this, I'm talking about a general redistribution of wealth and a turning from oppression generally. And so that most certainly would result in redistribution of wealth towards women. There's so much to say about that. And I'm not the... Not the expert. I am a trans woman, and I have discovered certain things since I grew a pair, so to speak. And it did kind of change. It certainly did change life. And I don't know where to start. I don't know where to start. But yes,
so
you're right. I'm an upvote on reparations to women. Yeah.
Yeah, and I say it's not just. It's not just because of our earning potential, you know, over the years, but just, you know, women were denied the right to vote. Women are still made to wear, you know, what I call the floor-length ski mask in other parts of the world. I mean, we're still being oppressed.
That's beautiful.
Right now.
Floor-length ski mask. I love that. Well, yeah, and I was talking about angry white men yesterday, and it was an interesting statement, but, I mean, it was an interesting topic. And yes, they're angry, and the author was saying that their anger is real, their justifications are false. But, you know, where to start? I appreciate you bringing up the topic.
I'm just putting it out there. Frankly, this is the first time I've thought of this.
I mean, I guess I could throw out one thing is, although we hear that things have changed, and certainly men have changed, and I've seen the change even in the last decade in terms of childcare, it's still principally the women's lookout, and this culture is vicious about that, not only to the women, but to the children they are raising.
Right, yes.
Well, thanks for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187. The time is 9:35. And you're listening to KBOO Portland. Mike is on the air.
Good morning, Drew.
Hi, welcome to Reparations Day Radio.
Thank you very much. I vote yes.
All right, then.
I have a few points I'd like to just read off as quickly as possible.
All right.
There is no safe level of radiation exposure.
Right on, okay.
That's the bottom line. It takes 1.9 years to make $1 million. If you get a dollar a minute, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. It takes 1.9 years with no spending and no taxes.
All right.
Okay. When I moved here in 79, there were about 30 Native American people in horrible state of health and disrepair, missing limbs and drinking all on Broadway, I mean Burnside and Broadway. They just, that was genocide continuing in front of us. They just let those people die.
It was more visible then.
In our face. The word Indian etymologically means people of the river. So we're all people of the river unless we came from underground out through the caves. If a murderous gang of mindless thugs can descend upon a simpler people, does it matter if they hail from Trenton or Mars? Just 5 points that I think
All right.
are.
Thank you very much for those 5 points. And if you have, thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Whoops, I kind of wandered away from this microphone. And now I will now thump and squeak as I adjust this here microphone. There. And I was quoting Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States. Another thump. Here we go. A squeak. Behind the English invasion of North America, behind their massacre of Indians, their deception, their brutality, was that special powerful drive born in civilizations based on private property. And this brings us back to the Pope, doesn't it? Quoting Zinn again, it was a morally ambiguous drive. The need for space, for land, was a real human need, but in conditions of scarcity and a barbarous epoch of history ruled by competition, this human need was transformed into the murder of whole peoples. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because of the Thanksgiving Day legend in which the pilgrims and the Indians just had this wonderful feast day, and gee, thanks for the turkey and the pumpkin pie engines, and it was all just fine, wasn't it? You know, put the light of that. So it's Reparations Day Radio, and has been historically genocide cover-up day here on KBOO, and we have more programming coming up at 10 o'clock. Let me just check with the engineer on the title of that that program. Oh, he's on the air. I mean, excuse me, he's on the phone trying to deal with callers at the moment.
Hi.
What's coming up at 10 o'clock?
Oh, we have a special program. It's called, it's part of a series, Wisdom of the Elders.
Right on. Okay.
That's at 10.
So that's coming up at 10 o'clock on your community radio, KBOO Portland. The time is 9:38. The number to call, 503-231-8187. And we'll go to the next caller. Hi, you're on the air. Hi there. Oh, we'll just see if the magic is working here. I'll try this in just a moment. And Boris is on the air.
Hello?
Hi, Boris. Are you Boris?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
On the topic of reparations,
yes.
Let's address a more contemporary issue, that being the brutalized population of Iraq, who are the victims of our heroic efforts, highly criminal heroic efforts on the part of our wonderful soldiers. And I am more than interested in hearing your explanation for why you have sympathy for young people who, in pursuit of money for education, decide that they're going to support this criminal act and join the military.
My sympathy comes from the fact that they are so efficiently and brutally deceived, and because the boot camp process is a mind control process that is based on transference aggression, and on the there's another phrase that has to do with it. Well, it's actually due to traumatization of the mind. I'll think of the phrase that applies to that in a moment. So without giving any moral standing to what is done in the name of imperialism by the United States, I am simply recognizing the fact that humans are humans, and if you fool them, you can get them to do all sorts of things.
Well, true enough, but unless they've been living under a rock, I have a hunch that they have a pretty good idea about what they're supporting when they sign on the dotted line. Now, they may not have any moral objection to it, which is a problem in and of itself, but I think they're aware of what they're doing. It's just that they're self-centered, self-interested pursuit of a higher education justifies in their mind and in the mind of many people that it's perfectly okay to support a criminal act if in fact you want money for college.
Well, I have to agree with you as far as that goes.
I guess that's my point.
All right, then. Well, thanks for calling in. The number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Quoting Roger Williams, who is quoted by Howard Zinn's People of the United States, talking about the basis of the Thanksgiving Day holiday, a depraved appetite after the great vanities, dreams and shadows of this vanishing life, great portions of land in this wilderness, as if men were in as great necessity and danger for want of great portions of land as poor, hungry, thirsty seamen have after a sick and stormy, long and starving passage. This is one of the gods of New England, which the living and most high eternal will destroy and famish, sort of a Christian sentiment there. But going back to what Zinn writes for himself, he says, in People's History of the United States, was all this bloodshed and deceit from Columbus to Cortez, Pizarro, the Puritans, a necessity for the human race to progress from savagery to civilization? Was Morrison right in burying the story of genocide inside a more important story of human progress? Perhaps a persuasive argument can be made, as it was made by Stalin when he killed peasants for industrial progress in the Soviet Union, as it was made by Churchill explaining the bombings of Dresden and Hamburg, and Truman explaining Hiroshima. But how can the judgment be made if the benefits and losses cannot be balanced because the losses are either unmentioned or mentioned quickly? That quick disposal might be acceptable, unfortunate, yes, but it had to be done, to the middle and upper classes of the conquering and advanced countries, that's an air quote there, but is it acceptable to the poor of Asia, Africa, Latin America, or to the prisoners that were in Soviet labor camps, or to blacks in urban ghettos, or to Indians on reservations, to the victims of that progress which benefits a privileged minority in the world? And updating Zinn, as the caller says, what about the people of Iraq? What about the people of Afghanistan? What was it acceptable? Or just, what about the people of Pakistan and the people who have been blown apart by drones? Was it acceptable or just inescapable to the miners and railroaders of America, the factory hands, the men and women who died by the hundreds of thousands from accidents or sickness where they worked or where they lived, casualties of progress? And even the privileged minority, must it not reconsider, with that practicality which even privilege cannot abolish, the value of its privileges when they become threatened by the anger of the sacrificed? Whether in organized rebellion, unorganized riot, or simply those brutal individual acts of desperation labeled crimes by law and the state, if there are necessary sacrifices to be made for human progress, Zinn wrote, is it not essential to hold to the principle that those to be sacrificed must make the decision themselves? We can all decide to give up something of ours, but do we have the right to throw into the pyre the children of others, or even our own children, for progress which is not nearly as clear or present as sickness or health, life or death? What did people in Spain get out of all that death and brutality visited on the Indians of the Americas? For a brief period in history, there was the glory of a Spanish empire in the Western Hemisphere. As Hans Kinnig sums it up in his book Columbus, His Enterprise, for all the gold and silver stolen and shipped to Spain did not make the Spanish people richer. It gave their kings an edge in the balance of power for a time, a chance to hire more mercenary soldiers for their wars. They ended up losing those wars anyway, and all that was left was a deadly inflation, a starving of population, the rich richer, the poor poorer, and the ruined peasant class. Sound familiar? By the way, if you're interested in that history, here's another name of a historian for you, Eduardo Galeano, who wrote Open Veins of Latin America, which is translated into English, and you won't be the same. If you haven't read that before, you won't be the same after you read it. Talking about the mines of Potosi, which, and those mines were briefly just mentioned by Zen in the passage that I was reading from. Number to call with your comments, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Barry's on the air.
Teresa?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a wonderful program you've got going on, but that guy hit on it. That is why there are all the suicides in the military. I just wanted to add this comment.
All right, go ahead.
That's about it. Why all the suicides? Because we as a society have grown up, we've become more aware of what's going on around us. People a long time ago could have had mystical ideas, oh, they're the bad guy, they're this, that, or the other. Now we know what's going on, and we have to face reality, and a lot of people can't face it after they've done what they've done. Okay?
Or as a famous writer has said, the horror. Well, thanks for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. It's 945. You're listening to KBOO Portland, People's Community Radio. You can listen to us also on KBOO.fm, and you can contribute, and please do, because KBOO is supported by anyone who cares. And I'll just check with the engineer right now. All right. And beyond all that, quoting Zen again, how certain are we that what was destroyed was inferior? Who were these people who came out on the beach and, swam to bring presents to Columbus and his crew, who watched Cortes and Pizarro ride through their countryside, who peered out of the forest at the first white settlers of Virginia and the Massachusetts? Columbus called them Indians because he miscalculated the size of the earth. In this book, and this is People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn, we too call them Indians with some reluctance because it also happens too often that people are saddled with the names given to them by their conquerors, and yet there is some reason to call them Indians because they did come perhaps 25,000 years ago from Asia across the land bridge. And then Zinn goes on to quote that theory, which I'll skip a little bit and say further on in what he writes, widely dispersed over the great landmass of the Americas, they numbered perhaps 75 million people by the time Columbus came, perhaps 25 million in North America. Responding to the different environments of soil and climate, they developed hundreds of different tribal cultures, perhaps 2,000 different languages. They perfected the art of agriculture, figured out how to grow maize, corn, which cannot grow by itself and must be planted, cultivated, fertilized, harvested, husked, and shelled. They ingeniously developed a variety of other vegetables and fruits, as well as peanuts and chocolate and tobacco and rubber on their own. On their own, the Indians were engaged in the great agricultural revolution that other people in Asia, Europe, and Africa were going through at about the same time. While many of the tribes remained nomadic hunters and food gatherers and wandering egalitarian communes, others began to live in more settled communities. And there's much more on that. I recommend that you read Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States. And the argument that he is making here is that, of course, it is ridiculous to say that one culture and technology was superior to the other. And particularly in view, and he quotes, he makes reference to the Iroquois, who were living rather well before the Europeans came. They had it down, so to speak. And what technology is appropriate? What technology is superior? Isn't it the one that gives the great majority of the people the best life? So I think that's the point he was making there. Number to call with your comments, 503-231-8187. You can join Mike, who is on the air right now. Hi, Mike.
Hi. My question is, talking about technology, why were the Europeans in the 1500s and 1600s so much more advanced as far as war goes? And, like, why are they so war-centered and bloodthirsty, like, relative to other, you know, civilizations at the time? And also, secondly, if I could, if reparations are distributed, how should they be distributed? And to whom, in the hierarchy?
Well, that has been the question that I've actually kind of put to the audience. So I'll ask you first, what's the first thing that comes to mind to you?
Well, first, it's going to be descendants of African slaves, I would say, as well as the Native Americans, who were obviously, experienced mass genocide.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's where you start.
All right. Okay, and yeah. As I was saying earlier, I propose that because of the maldistribution of wealth under imperialism and capitalism, it is now easier than ever to pay reparations, and that these reparations can be a start of redistribution of wealth into a more rational frame. I suggest that wealth be limited to $10 million. And I say $10 million because, who's really rationally going to cry about that? That eliminates the entire billionaire class, as Parafoggering was saying earlier when he called in numbers merely a few thousand across the entire Earth, which is, as we know, populated by billions. And it's easy to do now because trillions can simply be confiscated from tax dodging offshore accounts. But it isn't so easy because, in the first place, people don't even know that the trillions are out there. They don't know that they've been robbed. They don't know that there's a maldistribution of wealth. The word capitalism, uttered from the words of the mouth of the Pope recently, came as a shock across the minds of the globe, simply because capitalism, by encouragement and certainly by the collaboration of those who benefit from it, capitalism is not to be named and not to be seen. But it is now. And we are in the after effects of the Occupy movement. That door to class consciousness has been cracked open. So what will happen now? And why don't we make that political effort? There is a tremendous uphill battle simply for the hearts and minds of the people, because there is such wonderfully, I use the word sarcastically, such amazingly, bizarrely effective mind control in the United States and the world, controlled by the media and by our system of education. So that, as I said, capitalism itself has become invisible, imperialism is invisible, history is invisible, and so, absent arms and legs, how can we move? Absent the levers of power, how can we move power? Well, the first step, People's Community Radio, hello there, this is KBOO Portland Community Radio, supported by anyone who cares. The first step is to get the truth out. And once the truth comes out, who knows what can happen? Who knows? Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Sheila's on the air.
Yeah, first, I wanted to respond to that gentleman caller who said that it's terrible that these kids are just signing up to get a college education.
Uh-huh.
It's not even that. First, some of them are signing up because they can't get jobs. They need to live.
There is economic coercion.
Okay. The other reason is that I know intelligent people who have bought the lies of the government that these are bad people, that we need to go after them because they're bad. The other reason is that countries that go against our best interests. Now, our best interests are the oil companies and the companies that are exploiting, want to exploit these other countries. We want to control them. So we say it's our best interest, but we never, these people who sign up never know what the best interest means.
You know, and that reminds me, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, so there's reasons why these people, they don't realize that they're setting themselves up to die. They don't realize that they're setting themselves, that they're offering their lives for the powerful in this country. That it has nothing to do with anything that these other countries are doing wrong. It has to do with what the people in this country want for themselves. And so I think these, I pity the veterans who are intelligent, who still buy the lies that they're being told.
The mind is complex and amazing, and
it
certainly
really
can
is.
Be controlled.
And, you know, there is so much propaganda in this country. There are so many untruths that are being told to the people. I don't trust hardly any, well, I don't trust the press. I don't trust the news. Half of what I read online, I don't trust anymore. They're all lying.
Well, it just takes some work, doesn't it? And so I want to encourage that sort of thing.
So I hope
this
gentleman realize that it's not just to get a college education. They're doing it for many other reasons.
All right. Well, thank you for that comment. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Coming up to the top of the hour here, we're going to have Wisdom of the Elders coming up at 10 o'clock here on KBOO Portland Community Radio. And I want to throw out a word that we haven't mentioned yet this morning, and that is Muslims. I do not like religion. I don't like Christianity. I like Christians, though, and I like Muslims, and that's because they're people, and it is so wrong what the United States has done to people simply because they have a Muslim surname, and they continue to do. And I guess you're not supposed to say that or even to notice it. It's sort of like capitalism. We're not supposed to notice that you get tagged by the TSA or you get taken out of the line for having the wrong surname. How racist is that? how disgusting, how immoral. And also backtracking just a bit, 40 acres and a mule, in case you don't know, refers to the concept in the United States for agrarian reform for former enslaved black farmers following disruptions to the institution of slavery provoked by the American Civil War. Many freedmen believed they had a moral right to own the land they had long worked as slaves and were eager to control their own property. 40 acres and a mule, why not? Reparations Day Radio. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And just talked about that 40 acres and a mule, and we'll go to the next caller. Hi.
Is that me?
That's you, yes.
Oh, hi. In regards to what the previous caller was saying?
Yes.
I also do not support veterans or anyone who joins the military. Maybe they've been tricked, but unless they're brain dead, they're going to find out pretty soon what they're really up against. And I think a lot of them are joining, not for any patriotic reasons, but just for economic reasons. And economic reasons do not justify letting yourself be trained as a murderer and a traitor to humanity to support imperialistic wars of greed and occupation on the behalf of this pathetic country.
So you're saying just say no.
I say take or strip away all military benefits. No VA, no education benefits. Then see how many people join the military. All right?
Okay, thank you for your comments. The number to call, 503-231-8187. And Val is on the air.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
Oh, man, it's so cool to talk with you. This last topic we've been on, I'm real disappointed to hear some of these comments. The reality is these kids, they're going through high school and they come out and, they're, you know, all the different things they're facing. It's not that they're brain dead. They're not tuned in. It's way different to be in your 20s or 30s and to understand what's going on. They aren't, you know, they're not all tuned in what's going on with the wars and the atrocities.
Well, when you're 20, your frontal lobe is not fully connected with the rest of your brain.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a slap, isn't it? Sorry, kiddos.
Yeah, duh. And then the recruiters, it's just amazing. It was about 10 years ago when they got a hold of my son, and he's like, you know, the last person you think that the public, general public, need to understand how these recruiters work with these kids.
Well, I guess that's kind of where I'm getting around to it. I mean, I agree that this is that imperialism is morally indefensible, and yet I don't want to be hypocritical. I'm human, and I have been manipulable, and still am to some degree. I'm certain, and I can't pretend to be morally superior. But I can say, for reasons of what I perceive as morality, and certainly for practical reasons, imperialism must end now.
Yeah. And I just want to, I don't know if I defend or whatever, that the majority of these young people going in, it's for, you know, economic reasons. I don't think a majority of them is for college education. Most of them just need to, get out. Also, they do a lot of manipulation, especially with I can't think right now. But with the kids about their parents and take a load off their parents and your.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, they give you this whole, I mean, look at the billboards and the lies that the billboards tell to our youth. Oh, you'll be a hero. You'll be descending from a helicopter and rescuing people from floods if you join the National Guard. And the fact is, if you actually join the National Guard, it's already been what they call nationalized, so that you immediately go to war. And that's just a bunch of crap they're showing you on the billboards. Hey, thanks for your call.
Oh, Teresa, thank you so much. Keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Well, I think it's time to tune to the guitar of Arlo Guthrie as I fade slowly into the sunrise. And I want you to stay tuned, because we're going to have more programming appropriate to the Turkey Day. And I thank you for listening to Reparations Day Radio. And I invite you to stay tuned to your People's Community Radio, KBOO Portland.
You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant,
excepting Alice.
You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
So walk right in,
it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
Yes, and happy Turkey Day from your community radio, KBOO Portland. Coming up this morning in about an hour at 11 o'clock, Between the Covers features an interview with Margaret Atwood, who discusses her latest novel, Madadam, the third in her speculative fiction trilogy that began with Oryx and Crake, as well as the social and political ramifications of her work, with host Richard Walensky of the series Bookwaves. And at 11:30, Jen Chavez will be here live in the studio for the film show. That's all coming up this morning on KBOO, but up next we'll hear a program from the series Wisdom of the Elders. Stick around.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to help co-sponsor the Triangle production of American Fiesta, starring Gary Wayne Cash, a witty, hopeful tale of imperfection and acceptance. American Fiesta will take place at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. This Triangle production will run from November 29th through December 22nd. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
We remember, we listen, we learn from those who have walked before us, from those who can teach us now. Welcome to Wisdom of the Elders. Every week we bring you stories and songs of elders and storytellers from the Native Nations of North America. I'm Arlie Neskahai of the Diné Nation. In the next hour, we'll visit with Pulitzer-winning author N. Scott Mamaday of the Kiowa Nation, who speaks of sacred earth. Then we'll hear from Judy Bluehorse Skelton, who offers us health and healing from the plant world.
Native people have been using and working and have had a unique relationship with the plant people for thousands of years.
Then we join Paiute song carrier Judy Trejo for stories and songs from her great-grandmother.
The elders were the only people that accepted me. I was told that as a very small child, I had the ability